Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Leslie Dach, and I'm the chair of Protect Our Care, and thank you for joining us for this call today to talk about the House Democratic agenda to protect America's health care and reduce their costs. We are honored to have with us today Representative Annie Custer from New Hampshire, who is a member of the Energy Commerce Committee, also the new Democrat Caucus vice chair, who is also the lead author of the first bill that will come up for a House vote, and that's tomorrow, H.R. 986, Protecting Americans with Pre-Existing Conditions Act of 2019, and a bill that the president has advisors have already said that if passes, they will recommend that the president veto this legislation to protect people with pre-existing conditions. Also joining us are Jim Williams from PPP Polling, who will talk about a poll just completed this week that looks at how the public, what the public's views are on the set of bills that make up the Democratic healthcare agenda that will begin votes tomorrow, continue over the next few weeks and over the next several months. And Brad Woodhouse, my colleague and at Protect Our Care, who will talk a little bit about the political context in which this is all happening. The votes that start tomorrow come at a critical and interesting time. A week after Donald Trump doubled down on his legal attempt to eliminate the entire Affordable Care Act, just a handful of days after the second anniversary of the House Republican passage of its bill to repeal health care and their party about that at the White House. And as I mentioned, this week, Democrats in the House will begin voting on their agenda of reducing costs, improving care, and ending the Republican sabotage of America's health care. They'll begin with a vote to protect people with pre-existing conditions, and through that, send a clear message to the president that Americans will not tolerate his relentless war on health care. In the next few weeks, the House will move on to consider other aspects of the Democratic lower cost, better care agenda, including the end to junk plans, the overturn of sabotage of open enrollment, and as well as additional steps to reduce the cost of prescription drugs. And over the next several months, the House will continue its efforts to make progress and work to make health care more affordable by focusing on surprise bills, stopping price gouging for common drugs like insulin, and requiring Medicare to use its negotiating power to lower drug prices. And importantly, also focus directly on the affordability of health care insurance by guaranteeing that for many Americans, their health care premiums will not exceed 10% of their income. All of this stands in stark contrast to the Trump and Republican agenda and their insistence that the courts repeal our health care and their endless effort to gut all protections for people with pre-existing conditions. And now, let me turn this over to Jim to walk us through the recent polling data.
Thank you so much, Leslie, and thanks everybody for being on the call with us today. I want to talk a little bit about the national poll that we did recently surrounding several legislative proposals, which based on press reporting are likely to be part of the House Democrats' healthcare agenda. We did a national poll. We found that by substantial margins, including large numbers of independents and Republicans, support for this House Democrats' healthcare agenda and the specific legislative proposals within it. We found overall 54% of voters say that they trust Democrats more on the overall issue of healthcare, with only 42% of voters say that they trust President Trump more on that issue. And that's an advantage that expands to 24 points, a 60 to 36% margin among crucial independent voters. We also tested several specific things that are probably going to be part of the Democratic health care agenda, which will begin to come to the floor of the House over the next several months. I'm going to go through several of those top lines one by one. We found that 90% of voters support ending the ban that prevents Medicare from negotiating with drug companies to get lower prices for prescription drugs. 85% of voters support ending price gouging by pharmaceutical companies on common drugs such as insulin and EpiPens. 85% support prohibiting insurance companies from sending surprise medical bills where they charge higher rates for out-of-network services when a patient visits an in-network hospital or a medical practice. 82% support making it more difficult for big drug companies to block new, cheaper generic drugs. 70% support requiring all health insurance plans to fully cover more basic services such as primary care visits or seeing a specialist before charging a deductible or a copay. 69% support stopping insurance companies from selling junk health insurance plans that don't cover prescription drug costs or people with pre-existing conditions. 69% also support guaranteeing that more Americans can buy health insurance for less than 10% of their income. We also found generally that the Affordable Care Act itself remains popular, where 65% of voters said that they want Congress to keep what works in the Affordable Care Act and fix what doesn't. Only 30% said that they wanted to see Congress repeal the Affordable Care Act and start over with a new health care law. That includes 78% of Democrats and 77% of independents. Similarly, 58% of voters say that they do not think the Affordable Care Act should be struck down by the courts, as the Trump administration is currently demanding. We also tested, we did a question on the cuts that are in President Trump's proposed budget, which includes a $1 trillion cut to Medicaid and $845 billion in cuts to Medicare. That's even less popular. 66% of voters oppose those cuts. Only 20% support them. That includes a majority of voters across all age brackets, 61% of voters age 18 to 45, 68% of voters age 46 to 65, 67% of voters over the age of 65. It includes 75% of Democrats, 72% of independents, even 50% of Republicans oppose the Trump administration's proposed cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. Only 30% of Republicans and just 12% of independents support these cuts. So the last thing I'd say about the poll in general, you know, in this age of polarization where there's almost no agreement on anything, I think it's striking to see such broad agreement on a lot of these policy proposals that the Democrats are proposing, and fairly broad dislike of what the Trump administration is trying to do with healthcare.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Now it's my honor and pleasure to turn the call over to Representative Custer. Thank you.
Good morning. It's an honor to be with all of you. I'm Congresswoman Annie Custer from the 2nd District of New Hampshire. I serve on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, on the Health Subcommittee, and I'm Vice Chair of the New Democratic Coalition. I just want to talk very briefly about H.R. 986, my bill coming to the floor tomorrow. Protecting Americans with Pre-Existing Conditions Act. It's safe to say that this bill is summarized in that title, and if you stay focused on the title, you'll get the gist of the bill. But essentially, the Trump administration has been engaged in a full-on sabotage of the Affordable Care Act, and this is picking up where the Republicans under Speaker Boehner, Speaker Ryan, now Majority Leader McCarthy have left off. I've only been in Congress for 6.5 years. I have voted 55 times not to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and that's because the constituents in my district across New Hampshire appreciate the protections, the consumer protection guardrails that are embedded in the Affordable Care Act. You probably know that we've been hit very, very hard by the opioid epidemic. Opioid addiction, alcohol addiction, these are pre-existing conditions. Asthma, arthritis, allergies, Alzheimer's, cancer, depression, diabetes. You can go right through the alphabet, and pretty much anybody you know will have someone they love that has a pre-existing condition. And what's happening is that despite the talk of my Republican colleagues, and I will say at every opportunity, they will try to tell you that they want to protect people with pre-existing conditions. The facts speak for themselves. This administration is in court as we speak to completely eliminate the Affordable Care Act. And recently, they have allowed what's called Section 1332 guidance in October of 2018, which will weaken protections for Americans with pre-existing conditions. My legislation would revoke that guidance. would reinstitute these consumer protection guardrails and will fight back on the Trump administration attempt to promote junk plans that do not protect Americans with pre-existing conditions. So that's the gist of it. I expect that we will be picking up some Republican votes, and I expect that because of the pressure of the American people calling members of the House and Senate about their own experience with denials for coverage for pre-existing conditions, that we will see this taken up in the Senate. I'm disappointed to hear the advisory that the president is being advised to veto the bill, but I think the pressure being brought to bear by the American people on this issue, as reflected in this polling, he will deem otherwise, and this bill will be signed into law.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for those remarks and also for your leadership on this critical issue. I'll turn it over now to Brad Woodhouse, my colleague, Protect Our Care, for some closing remarks.
Great. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Congresswoman Custer. I remain just somewhat stunned that Republicans seem to keep putting their hand on this hot stove, and they are, doing so, I suppose, because of their ideology, because of their base stoking, because of their fear of President Trump, who continues to insist on being the lead general in a war on American healthcare. And make no mistake, this is a war on American healthcare that is being conducted by President Trump and Republicans. It, of course, as Congresswoman Custer pointed out, goes back to the days of the Republicans trying repeatedly to repeal the Affordable Care Act, up to the minute that the president was inaugurated, and his first act was to tell his administration to do everything they could to undo, unwind, repeal, and sabotage the Affordable Care Act. And we have seen that in this administration. We have seen that in this Department of Health and Human Services. We've seen that in the type of waivers, the type of sabotage, the type of guidance, the type of pushing for people to get enrolled into junk plans, the type of activity that this legislation tomorrow will roll back, the type of activity that legislation to come will ban. It is a war on American health care, and they do so at their political peril. I mean, you don't need us to tell you that the 2018 election for Democrats was won on the issue of health care. All you need to do is look at the exit polls. You don't need us to tell you that the number one issue on the minds of voters, despite all of the other issues that Congress is dealing with and all of the other issues that the American people are focused on with respect to this president, the number one issue they want Congress to deal with is health care. And when they say that, they say they support Democrats over Republicans by a double-digit margin, including by a large margin among independents, as you've seen in our poll. The president has threatened to veto this legislation that is coming up tomorrow to protect people with pre-existing conditions. He and the administration and that guidance have lied again that they want to protect people with pre-existing conditions. Guess what? The Affordable Care Act that they have tried repeatedly to sabotage and to repeal, and they're in court to, as the president said, quote unquote, terminate, protects people with pre-existing conditions. They have shown their cards. They ran a campaign in 2018 lying to the American public saying they wanted to protect people with pre-existing conditions. The American public didn't buy it. They threw Republicans out of office. It has done great damage to President Trump's political standing. And I just want to thank Congresswoman Custer and House Democrats, Congressman Pallone, Congresswoman Eshoo, Speaker Pelosi, and Congressman Neal, and all of those who are working so hard on a lower cost, better care, stop sabotage agenda that puts the American people first and fights back against this relentless war the President Trump and Republicans on American health care. It's a war they're going to lose. They lost the battle in 2018, and they're going to continue to lose this the substantive and political battle as we go forward. With that, let's take questions.
Thanks, Brad. At this time, if anybody has any questions, if you want to press star 3 on your phone, that'll enter you into our Q&A queue. Again, that's star 3 on your phone to enter the queue to ask a question. Our first question is, if this bill doesn't pass, what are the implications of the administration continuing to push junk plans and undermine protections for people with pre-existing conditions?
Congresswoman Custer?
Sure, happy to jump in on this one. I think this is the fear. You know, when I go home to the district, and whether it's in the grocery store and town hall meetings, I've just been doing a tour of healthcare facilities, going to all my hospitals and my opioid treatment facilities, talking about the healthcare bills that are coming through our committee. The biggest fear that people have about their family is that they will be denied health insurance coverage. And you just take yourself back to the 2007-2008 presidential election, which started in New Hampshire, and the sobbing, the sad stories, the bankruptcies, the people losing their homes. And right now, our committee is already hearing about people that are using their insulin sparingly because they can't afford the cost of their medication. So imagine the ripple effect across this country if people find themselves in health insurance plans that do not cover their pre-existing conditions. And the worst of the horror stories we've heard is that not only would they get the bill after the fact for whatever surgery or treatment or expensive hospitalization, they'd find out they weren't covered. In some cases, this includes when they didn't even realize they had the pre-existing condition, and the insurer says to them, well, you should have known. So I think in terms of the impact, this is going to be felt in every congressional district and certainly in these U.S. Senate races across the country. And, by the way, in the presidential, it comes up on the stump in the questions being asked by New Hampshire and Iowa voters as we speak.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, we have another question. It's, in addition to your legislation, what more do Democrats have planned to lower health care costs, including prescription drug costs?
Sure. Well, this is teeing up our agenda that's coming next week to the floor and then continuing in our health subcommittee. Just stepping back a little bit, I think I mentioned that I'm a vice chair of the New Democrats Coalition. We had a task force in the last session, and we released last Congress the Solutions Over Politics, Stabilizing and Improving the Individual Market. So some of these ideas are now coming to fruition in legislation in our committee. One, for example, is to focus on a permanent reinsurance program that would continue to stabilize the Affordable Care Act and bring down rates for insurance for Americans. We want to reduce health care costs for all Americans, including low-income Americans. We've had a series of bills coming out of our committee that are bipartisan bills on bringing down the cost of prescription medication. The first of those will be coming to the floor shortly, and that's about the generic, reframing generics so that we reintroduce competition. We've lost some of that with some of the gaming that's gone on by the pharmaceutical industry around generics, and we're closing those loopholes. We also want to promote greater insurance coverage. You're going to hear a lot about that. And creating increased affordable insurance options. I think, for example, in the months ahead, you'll start to hear more about legislation to offer a public option. This may be one of the solutions being discussed is a Medicare option on the exchange that American families can buy into. They can pay premiums up to age 65 when that coverage becomes free to them. And for some people, that will cut out the expense of insurance, the advertising, the administrative expense. It will increase competition with private insurance. but it won't be a mandate that would kick the 70% of Americans off their insurance that get their insurance through their employers through private insurance. So it will be more of a choice option is, I think, the direction you'll start to see. And we'll continue to have more legislation on the high cost of prescription drugs. One of the issues, and it polled very well here, but it's something we hear about from our constituents, and they're very well educated on this issue, is the fact that the federal government, under the Medicare program, does not negotiate a volume discount to bring down the price. And so the cost of medication is higher, not just for seniors, but for taxpayers as well. The American people understand the notion of a volume discount. They know that when they go to Walgreens or Walmart, their medication costs less. And they understand that the more pills you buy, the better the price you can get. They want the federal government to get the benefit of that bargain.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Any other questions?
Yep, we've got one final question. This question is from Mary Ellen McIntyre of Roll Call. The question is, why do you think this bill is needed at this point, given that no states have applied for a waiver under the revised October guidance?
Well, the concern that we have is the Trump administration actually encouraging the growth of these junk health plans. If I thought that no state ever would approve, then I would be less concerned. But we know that there are states all across this country that never introduced the Medicaid expansion. I can tell you in New Hampshire, tens of thousands of people and families' lives have changed because of access to health care under Medicaid expansion, and most notably those families that are finally getting access to treatment and recovery services for opioid addiction. So given that big states, Florida, Texas, hundreds of millions of Americans that don't get access to the care that they need and they're entitled to under current law, I do not trust this administration. I do not trust the sabotage of the Affordable Care Act, and I want to make sure we close this loophole.
Great. Congresswoman, thank you. I want to thank everybody. Jim, I want to thank you, thank Leslie Dock, and all of the many reporters that we have on the line. We're going to have to go ahead and close this call, but thank you for participating. And, you know, I just think, you know, watch over these next several months. We have a Trump administration of Republicans, you know, trying to sabotage health care, proclaiming that they would, if they stay in charge in 2020 and recapture the House, that they'll bring health care repeal back, and in court trying to terminate the entire law. And you can cut that contrast with Democrats in the House and in the Senate, but particularly in the House, where they have the levers of power, pursuing a lower cost, better care agenda that the American people approve from 70% to 90%. And that is politically perilous for Republicans that continue to oppose the American people and this agenda. So with that, we will close this call and thank everybody for participating.